Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and happy new year, ye helpless hungover Harriet. Welcome to season two of the Snowcast, where we're going to take a little break there for a while after Christmas and New Year's, and we're back on the scene again. We actually haven't taken that much of a break. We've taken about 10 days off from this recording.
It feels like a lot longer.
I think we haven't recorded though. Because we did the editing bit before Christmas of the 12th snow, so we haven't recorded in 2 or 3 weeks. But it was good, yeah.
I'm here.
Refreshed now.
I had the shakes there for a few days because I don't think I had a drink there in about 48 hours.
My arse has had the shake all week.
It was nice to come out tonight. Anyway, it's myself and DJ, the co-host of the Snowcast here in Phil Grimes Pub on John Street. And we're nestled in here beside the fire, a nice little snuggie in the corner. Although the fire's gone out, we'll get Tom on for that. And we're also joined here by my cousin Jamie Daly.
Hello, lads.
Big Jamie Daly. So Jamie, we'll go to you there first. After we've taken a lovely long slip of the drink there.
Taking a slip of the drink. He's strange when he drinks that.
What are you drinking there tonight?
So I'm on the Schneiderweiss Tap 7 myself. It's a lovely wheat beer, full-bodied, rich, very delightful. I suppose after Christmas, it would have been a fairly stout-filled Christmas.
I'm on the stout again here tonight, and it is. I don't know, you just have to have
it's
the,
just that time of year in front
of year,
in
fire.
Front of a roaring fire, the point of stout can't go wrong. So I came in tonight now and I said, you know what, I'll go for something a little bit different. Went for the Schneiderweiss. I've had it in here before now, in fairness, and they have it on tap here, and it's the taste of Bavaria.
Oh
yeah,
you've been to Oktoberfest.
I have. Great weekend. Went down. We actually did it a kind of an arseways. We went an arseways about it. We flew into Brussels, we got a train from...
Wrong country.
Yeah, very much the wrong country. But we were meeting our friend, so we flew into Brussels, got a train from Brussels to Luxembourg, and then we went to Hertz in Luxembourg, got a car in Luxembourg, and we drove from Luxembourg to Munich. We had a great weekend, though. Definitely would recommend to all the listeners out there who haven't been there.
How many days did you go for?
We did 2 nights down there, but we stayed in on the outskirts of Munich. They obviously have it set up. It's an EP style campsite, so everyone sets up there, and you've a 2 minute walk to the tube station. and you jump on the tube and you get dropped into like the main Oktoberfest. Like,
so are you tenting?
Oh yeah, we were in a tent, like, with, there was, I think there were 15-20 beds in each tent, like.
Fuck.
Yeah, so we all went in, there was three of us there, got grand tents, was filled with Australians and Americans, like, and you actually get to meet people that way, like, because you'd be chatting to them and then you'd be all on the train in and stuff. And geez, yeah, no,
it was only the fistful of yourselves, is it?
Yeah, there was. There was only a small, there was only three of us now, myself, Gavin and Mark, two friends of mine. We all went in our lederhosens anyway, done up to the nines. And
fuck.
Yeah, we did
you
great.
You have to get
time,
the right lederhosen, though. You can't be going out
you
to
do.
The Michael
Oh, geez, no. I actually, because the two lads were onto me before we went, and they said that they had bought theirs on Amazon for 40 quid and the proper deer skin or whatever sort of skin they are. And I was like, go away, lads, like, you look like Egypt dressed up over there, like, no one will be wearing them. Like, and shouldn't we land over then? And sure, obviously, like, it's their tradition, the whole place is wearing one. So I said, fuck this, I'm gonna have to buy one. So I got fleeced then and had to pay €120 for one.
Stop.
But like, you have to go over and you have to check shirt on and you put the boots on you and everything, like, you. You have to buy into the whole thing while you're over there.
You'll have to
get planning, yeah.
I'm surprised now, yeah, you could get an old good old snugcast from one of the tents.
There's rumours of a stag party coming there from... a stag party going to Oktoberfest. There's rumours this year, so... I'll be on to my brother trying to organise it.
Yeah, it'd be well worth doing now, so... You've the Hofbrau tent, you've the Spaten tent, what other one? Jeez, there's... We spend a lot of time now in the Hofbrau tent. Apparently it was Hitler's favourite beer, so one of the lads was joking. We said we spend a weekend in there. So, but you go in and you're there drinking away, and they come around anyway, and they take
saluting each other.
Yeah, take your orders. And then every half an hour...
How many did you have? Nine?
Oh, nine stein. But there's a like a brass band in the middle of the hall, and every half an hour they pipe up. And sure, when they pipe up, everyone has to stand up on the benches and start, like, rocking from side to side.
Quality.
Yeah, yodeling and all that sort of carry on now. So, it's great crack, well worth doing. And I'd say now, a stag, you'd have a right time of it as well.
Class. So, DJ, you're planning your drinks for October, but what are you drinking there tonight?
So, tonight, in the Cowles of January, on John Street in Waterford, in Phil Grimes, where it all began, I'm on the White Gypsy, but I'm on a White Gypsy Blonde. And I remember having White Gypsy Blonde back in the day when it was the 8.4% and it fucking blew the head off you, but it was lovely. So it's a wheat malt vice as well, so it's actually lovely. The new iteration of White Gypsy Blonde is 4%. It's fucking lovely to drink, nice crisp. The maltiness is definitely to the forefront, all right. You can really taste it, but it goes down a tree very light. Jesus, I sank that first one, like, fucking, I was drinking it through a straw, like, coming from a sippy cup.
It did go down fairly quick, all right.
It did, yeah. I sculled it. Jamie was three-quarter way through his pint, and next thing you looked, mine was gone.
And I started about 15 minutes before you as well.
Ah, but sure, look.
First time you've downed them in a competition.
No, not for a cross table from this chap either, but I'm also in a bit of a rush because, like, big match tonight, so. But we're not in too much of a rush. We've plenty of time to talk to our listeners and regale them with tales. But White Gypsy Blonde, lovely. I haven't been on a White Gypsy now on a podcast in, I'd say 15 episodes. So.
Oh.
Yeah, and I was on the pale ale that time, which is kind of a fruity pale ale. But this blonde is, you can definitely taste the maltiness of the vice. And 4% is very sessionable, very light.
Good stuff. And I'm there on Yellow Belly's Snooze Button, a lovely breakfast stout.
I think
their New Year's Eve I went around to a few pubs and I didn't have a single stout. I was on the Muldoons and I was on.
Sure, that's understandable.
And I was on a few pints of lager.
It's pint of Muldoons. And well, you never mix stout and Muldoons.
No, as young Darrell O'Donoghue taught us.
Card in the still. You should have seen him next day, lad.
Oh, yeah.
He looked like the Grinch, he was all green.
Yeah.
Jesus.
just keeping in with the Christmas theme
there. Yeah, very seasonal.
Nice, yeah.
He's nice. Green as a Christmas tree. Nice coniferous Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Non-shedable.
There's not much you can say about this. Beautiful stout.
She's a 5%er, I think, an oatmealer.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice and kind of a coffee taste and beauty.
Yeah. Yellow Belly just... They come up some views. We had a complaint about, well, we complained about it's not vodka there a couple of weeks ago. Like, oh, yeah. I think they missed the mark with that stout, but other than that, their stouts are fantastic. Like, I think, like, Snooze Button came out, it's not vodka. They had another stout.
Captain's Table.
What I'm saying is, all the other stouts, I still think Captain's Table is their best stout.
Oh, yeah.
I love Captain's Table. Like, I'd fucking sink that till the cows came home.
Yeah. I think that's really cool about those, like, these craft breweries and stuff, the way they can experiment and, like, that with the It's Not Vodka and stuff. Like, yeah, they've missed the mark, but, like, they also have another fucking.
They can do all that limited edition where they make it.
Exactly.
However many barrels, and if it's a hit, it's a hit. They can make more. If it flops, they can.
Actually,
John's
back, Belly Dance.
Well,
back inside in Grady's.
Well, so I was going to just mention that, like, because I was in there last Friday. I was talking to Kevin, and a couple of lads came into him and were asking for it, and he was like, "That's done, lads. That collaboration is finished."
Yeah.
But he said he had kept the keg aside, so that they'd be the last place to have it.
Oh.
So they have a keg, but they only have one keg. So, like, what's that? 88 pints, allowing for spillage. There won't be much of it left in the country. No. There's a few cans lying around as well, but
yeah.
Tucker has a lot of cans.
Does he?
Yeah.
I had a nice one out there on New Year's Eve, like peach. Actually, it's what? No, it's not actually peach. It's it is
grapefruit
a peach.
Lime.
Grapefruit.
Ask
lime.
Me Dave, he always gets it wrong.
No, grape and lime, isn't it? Not
grape and lime. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking about grapefruit earlier. That's something that's in the head.
Anyway, sure. Look, we'll move on to our first topic. Right, so our first topic of the night is New Year's resolutions, right? Are they a pile of bollocks or are they sound like? Like, TJ, I'll come to you first. What do you think?
A load of bollocks.
Yeah.
I think, like, right, I'm all for, like, New Year is, it's an excuse to get better. Like, I've been trying to fucking be a bit healthier this week and buying fresh ingredients and trying to eat better and all that. And, like, I am motivated. I will do it. I will, you know, and but it's a habit change. We actually started last week before the new year. We did our 5K, first 5K in Tramore, and you know, like all that. But it's a load of bollocks because you say it's a New Year's resolution, it's so easy to abandon it.
Yeah.
People go in these New Year's resolutions like. Say one, you were joking earlier, like, my New Year's resolution, give up drinking. This is the fucking 3rd of January, like. But, like, people make these really unrealistic New Year's resolutions. So then there's a social stigma around New Year's resolutions, load of shit anyway, because everyone abandons them. So it's something that you'll do for a week or two and then you forget about. Whereas I'm just kind of like, why do you have to make a New Year's resolution? Like, why can't you make a positive change to your life in March or April or May? Like, it's a load of bollocks. The time of the year has no impact
on
it.
Yeah.
No, and you know, it's a very difficult time of year to make a change. The only thing is, like, you're probably sick of pints, you're sick of chocolate, you're sick of eating shite.
Yeah.
But
sick
that being
turkey
said,
and ham.
Yeah. But that being said, you make a New Year's resolution, whatever it may be, are you holding yourself to account for that for the whole year? And then what happens a year later? You're just going to stop it because that fluctuating kind of the dislike. It even goes in deeper into society. You go a fad diet on it and off it. So you're on it and you lose 10 kilos in 3 days and then you come off it and you put on 25 kilos in 4 days. And it's all this shit like yo-yo in society, which isn't healthy at all. Do you like, actually, I'll give you a tip, listeners. Follow at the Real Life Doctor on Instagram and he'll give you tips on how to make small changes. But what he says is right, these little small changes, making small changes over time, making big changes. So, here he is, the main man has just entered the house, Tommy Kyrie. How are you, Tommy?
Well, lads, I wasn't expecting this.
No, go on, you're live. You know, you're not live. We can edit this out if you want. Go and get yourself a pint. Come on. Oh, we're good, thanks. Tommy's after joining us, lads, for his debut. He actually does exist, like Owen's friend, Tommy.
He's not just a mythical creature.
No, all these stories we've made up, like, Owen hasn't.
I've heard hundreds of stories with Tommy in him, and I've never actually seen him in the flesh. Now I can believe all the stories.
But did you even see him there? Because he appeared to me like.
I caught a glimpse of him.
Yeah. I heard his voice.
Yeah.
You thought the walls were talking to you. But New Year's resolutions, like, in my mind, they are a load of bollocks. I think if it, but then it's one of those things where it's like homeopathy. If you think it helps you, then grant.
If it improves your mindset and
outlook, because so much of life and so much of these things are your outlook on it rather than what society views it as.
Yeah.
So if it helps you to make a positive change, great. But for example, like me trying to lose a bit of weight and exercise more and eat a bit healthier, it's got fuck all to do with it being the new year.
Yeah.
It's got more to do with me looking in the fucking mirror and seeing a goat that, like, I was like, right, shift this cunt. If I saw that goat in fucking April or May, I'd make the same decision. So for me, load of bollocks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to agree. I think, like, yeah, new, like that whole new me, or new year, new me kind of shit, like, right? It can be like a very positive aspect to it. Like, you know, it can be something that will like spur you on and get you to do something. But like at the same time, it can be quite detrimental to you if you just set unrealistic expectations and unrealistic goals.
Like, especially, I think if you go around telling everyone like, oh geez, it's New Year's resolution to go to the gym or lose however many kg or whatever. You go telling people that then and you give up after 2 or 3 weeks and everyone's kind of on to you and saying, well, where's your New Year's resolution gone? And you know, you're better off to just make the change, or even just you keep it to yourself and just go about living a better lifestyle. It doesn't have to be because it's the 1st of January. Like.
But even if you do keep it to yourself, say for example your thing is, right, I'm giving up biscuits for 2019 because I ate too many biscuits, and you're like really, really diligent about it. Like, if you're addicted to heroin, you don't just come cold turkey off.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, on the 15th of January, you have a Jammy Dodger and you're fucking beating yourself up on the inside.
You'd have a box of Jammy Dodger.
You're down in the corner injecting heroin into you.
You're down in the corner with a Jammy Dodger and a spoon and a Bunsen burner underneath. Fucking. Looking to inject the cunt, didn't you? Like, I don't think you should be beating yourself up over that shit. Like, no.
Definitely not. Like, and like, I think as well, like, the fucking, like people set unrealistic goals as well. Sorry, Tommy, just to fill you in, the topic for tonight is New Year's resolutions, whether they're a load of bollocks or not.
Right.
So, anyway, I was just giving my two cents there, saying that they are a load of bollocks, and I think that they can be quite detrimental to people because people set unrealistic goals and they go like, oh, I'm going to get healthier, I'm going to get fitter now, and they go, I have to train 7 days a week, and I have to eat a salad for my breakfast, and I have to, you know, I have to take two shits a day and all this kind of stuff, like, you know.
Or go vegan. Do you see January now is, or this 2019 is the year of the vegan.
Oh, stop. Yeah. But, you know, actually, if you know, it's like a rake of like ads on like bus stops and like billboards for like go vegan.
It's just because it's fashionable.
No, but like these, but like those vegan billboards and stuff are weird because they're like, you know, it's a picture of like a calf and it's like, you know, this is a life as well. Like, it was like, come off it, lads.
But I used to live with a vegan and she's gone back to being a vegetarian. And I said, she's going to slowly fall off the wagon again. So I said, I'll walk back into the kitchen, she'll have a pig on a spit.
but I'd love to know, are all these people who are becoming vegan doing it purely because
they think, so I'll become a vegan.
Or are they doing it because they actually, whatever, they care for animals, they want to live a more healthy lifestyle? I reckon a lot of them, you see all these restaurants in Dublin, these Brother Hubbards and all these, there's nothing wrong with them, but like, it seems like a fashionable thing to go there, get a big fancy vegan meal, take a photo of it, put it up on your Instagram, and like, do you know, is it kind of is it a fashionable thing, or are people genuinely doing it
like the happy pair, like they're very
god
shower of bastards.
Call a spade a spade.
I went to this cooking demonstration when I was over in London there last year by the happy pair, and the two boys were cooking a curry. And they came on doing their handstands on stage and doing all the fucking what's their nickname? Vegward is what they call them, because they jump around a bit. But they were doing a curry and they were trying to be kind of funny and a bit Irish, kind of asher lash in a bit of this and a bit of that.
Lump it all on,
whatever. It's in there now. We'll give everyone the front row samples. They're giving all these L1 samples the front. Then you could hear the.
No one knew how.
Yeah. A few extra tables, the cumin went in. A few other ones had to get a few extra bottles of water.
He's definitely not giving her compressions down there in the front row. Like. I think, right, genuinely, you see on Twitter, Instagram, social media, all these people are like, I'm vegan. I bet you they're all closet vegans.
Yeah.
I guarantee you them lads are on a Sunday morning rocking out with an omelette with a load of ham and cheese in it, like fucking
sausage under the covers,
or crying in the fetal position in the corner. Like, look, if you make a genuine decision to be vegan and you're behind it, fair enough. I can understand vegetarianism.
Yeah, 100%.
I can understand. I try and do sometimes Vegetarian Wednesday just for no other reason to see if I can.
Yeah.
And it, like, there are health benefits to cutting down on your dairy and meat consumption. Like, they are inflammatory foods and all that. That's been well demonstrated. But like vegan, like to save a cow, like that cow probably wouldn't have been bred if people weren't eating steak.
Yeah.
But like aren't cows in awful pain if you don't milk them? Like,
oh, you have to milk them. You have to milk about once a day, or
but sure, yeah, but sure, twice a day for it's depending on the time of year.
Yeah,
but sure, like they get mastitis.
Yeah,
they big inflamed tits in them.
Yeah, like it's a horrible old thing if they're Do you know, not worse,
like, And to be fair, like they don't have opposable thumbs, like they can't milk themselves like we do.
Oh, Jesus.
we started off talking about New Year's resolutions, and we're talking about milking cows.
We said we'd leave it go where it went, so we're kind of following that really now.
Natural freestyle. For also, I'd like to welcome Tommy officially onto the Snowcast. The first time appearing, he's been mentioned plenty, but welcome.
I thought I was going to watch a Liverpool match, but here I am. Yeah, thanks, lads.
You showed up earlier than you said you would, like, true, you know. Yeah. What's your opinion on New Year's resolutions?
I was actually listening to the radio today, and they're saying it's worse to do the dry January. They said, like, if you want to go dry, like, wean yourself off it, like, because I found before, if I go on the dry and then I totally go off the rails, then, you know.
No, second week of January. Tommy's booking the week off for.
I'll be in a cellar. I'll be. Oh, yeah, I think it's all the bollocks. And, like, they say, just do everything in small amounts. So,
yeah, we're fans of everything in small amounts, apart from that last 5 podcasts we did, where we did like 10 pubs, drank about 18 drinks in 4 hours. But other than that, we're fans of moderation.
Everything in moderation.
Lead us on there to you. Have you given your full 2 cents on the New Year's resolutions?
I suppose, like, just I'd agree with the lads. Like, I think it's fairly fair amount of bullshit behind it, like, and I think in 2019 of all years, it's probably the most fashionable year to be coming in with New Year's resolution, because, like, you can't go on social media these days without seeing, like, half naked photos of men and women, like, ripped, shredded, and you know, they're going to the gym and this, that, and another thing. Like, so I think kind of this year of all years is they're probably going to be the most prominent, and I reckon it'll probably, not that there's anyone watching, but it'll be the highest fail rate of, like, New Year's resolutions, like, because
I have a New Year's resolution for them cunts.
What?
No filters for the year.
Yeah. Or don't edit your
hole.
Yeah. Or stop editing your photos to make your arse look better than it is, and all that sort of crap. But my question is, where are all these, like, do you know these influencers, they call them? I'm making an inverted comma symbol
Simon
here.
Cahoon.
Like, where are these people going to be when the phase dies out where influencers are no longer important and people don't really care what they're doing with themselves? Like, because, like, there's so many people on social media these days now, like, into all this fitness, and, like, not there's nothing wrong with fitness, but, like, putting up, you know, all sorts of photos of themselves and things like that, and creating unrealistic kind of images of how healthy looks, and how you know that sort of carry on.
I think as well, like, right, so just to add to that, I think that, like, you're making kind of the same point as that, you know, that highlights of 2018, you know, those posts that are going up now, right, where your top nine pictures, whatever, right, where it's like it's this, like, unrealistic, like, highlights of your previous year and all the amazing moments that have happened, like, but, like, because of, like, your social media, you're not going to put, like, you, like, in the dregs of despair, like, you know, up on social media, like, you know. And I think it can be quite damaging to people who do have, like, mental health issues or whatever, because, like, you know, it's like, oh, look at these people, they have amazing lives, like, you know, whatever. And then, you know,
they only see the positive.
And then you have someone baiting the head off the wife or something, like, you know, they're not putting that up on social media, you know what I mean? Like,
there was some prominent psychologist on, I think it was Dermot and Dave there last year. Can't remember the chap's name or anything that much that they said, but the take home point from it was that, like, people only putting the good of them up on social media and all this, like, look, if you work out for 15 minutes a day, you can look like me too, all that shit. All it does is make people insecure about themselves rather than, and, like, if the whole intention is to make people feel better about themselves, surely you'll say, like, or, you know, if you take it slowly and make small changes, moderate everything, you can look, you can, like, I suppose, augment your good features and suppress your poor features or whatever way you want to phrase
That's
it.
Why I think, like, this year, like, the New Year's resolutions will probably go to an extreme because people will want to see results quicker. Feel like, oh, I've seen this guy on social media, he's got a six pack. Jeez, if I starve myself for the next 3 months, I might have a six pack as well.
Picture.
I've seen pictures of Tommy Kyrie on Instagram, like, so I'd love to look like him too with no top on.
Yeah, it's easy, you know what I mean, 100 press ups every morning
before you eat your breakfast of a cucumber
and no points on Mondays, and then you're
it's Thursday today, we're alright.
Grand. So I need to go for a slash there now, so I'll just take a quick little break, alright, over to our sponsors. Right, so we're on to our second topic of the night. Right, Darren, what's our New Year's resolution?
My New Year's resolution is to get hashtag omnivore trending on Twitter. I want the whole world to be omnivores by the end of the month of January.
No, I was only messing, right? But I'll just ask everyone, what are you most looking forward to in 2019?
I'll take it first. Hopefully, as we've mentioned earlier in this episode, Tommy wasn't here. Hopefully, for my stag, we're going to, depending on if on circumstance and my brother organising it, but hopefully we're going to Oktoberfest in Munich, and that'd be fucking brilliant. Be the best stag party I'll ever have. If I have more than one.
Big if there.
I'll have a domestic one for her family. But yeah, a big hope for 2019, Oktoberfest.
Oh, class. I heard something about Oktoberfest before. Now, it could be totally untrue, because I hear a lot of fucking bullshit. Yeah, but know the way that you get your tables at Oktoberfest, that's the official one. Is there a rule that you're not allowed to leave your table? Like, a load of lads either wear a nappy or they take a piss at the table.
As a man who's been to Oktoberfest, Jamie.
As a man who's been to Oktoberfest, we have left tables in beer tents, but we have not returned to them.
Right.
So I suppose I can't really answer that one, but we never had any. But like, the only thing is, you have to be in at around 10 in the morning, and you get your you find a spot at a table then, and you sit down.
I'd say wearing a nappy or something.
But no, hold on. You surely went for a piss though?
Oh yeah, like, jeez, you get up and go for a piss, or go up and order a bit of food, and you come back, and it's
I was so.
It's all good. I think you were so.
It won't be the first, and it definitely won't be the last. Anyway,
you were hear that in the barber's belly. Yes.
you were sold a dodgy box there now, because that's.
That's grand.
I never experienced any of that sort of carry on now, anyway.
That's grand, so I need pack me nappies.
Yeah. I think you'll be safe. Pampers, is that what they're called? The nappies. I wouldn't know anyway. But did you just see the ads
you
on the
been out of them in a couple of
years. No, yeah, sure. Jeez, I'm only out of them there.
Yeah.
A few, what?
A wet minute.
A wet minute, yeah. So, Tommy, go on. What's your New Year's resolution?
Well, on my resolution. Oh jeez.
Oh no, we're gone from that. I was
no wonder you don't host the podcast. It's fucking easy. Can't even keep on track. No wonder we waited 21 episodes to get you on. Tommy, I think the question no one's trying to ask you, what's your big hope for 2019?
Hope? What are you most looking forward to?
Who do you think is Obama? What are you looking forward to?
No wonder you're not host. No wonder you're only co-host.
Fucking hell, shots fired. Tommy, what's your big hope for 2020? What are you going to change in the world?
Peace in the world, really. I'm hoping for everyone to be more.
He's in Tantique.
Wow.
He loves war.
Oh, yeah. I hope. I hope the Liverpool win tonight. No, what I'm looking forward to is going to Japan in September to the Rugby World Cup. I just need to organise it. Well, I need to, I need to reorganise, like, flights, money, just kind of where and when and what to do, like.
Yeah.
But I'm also, in the short term, looking forward to going to Cheltenham.
Oh, yeah.
That should be a big weekend. So I'm actually working on tickets at the moment for the rugby. We're going to go to Cheltenham for 2 days,
and
then go Cardiff on the Saturday. So I think I've got us tickets to the rugby, but it would involve us joining a rugby club in the west of Ireland. So we'd have to become members. So I'm working on bringing down the membership fee,
which would make 40-minute train as well from Cheltenham to Cardiff.
Yeah.
So we once wanted to go to a match when we were over the conference in Manchester. And became members of Manchester City's fan club, the Citizens.
Did you?
Just so we could get tickets, yeah. I still get emails off them. I got offered 6 tickets for tonight's match in a row.
Oh, jeez.
No, I didn't, but I probably did.
Yeah.
Nice. Cut of them boys. I think you should become members of this rugby club in West.
Yeah, but I think the membership's about 100 and something quid, like,
well, which,
plus a ticket. So do you mean so it brings up the price? So I'm trying to get down the price to membership.
But like with our winnings from Chelsea.
Oh yeah, that's it. Let's just bank on that.
It did well last year.
Yeah.
I've done that before. I've gone on the first day of Cheltenham and banking on my winnings on the first day to pay for my second day, and the winnings never came, so I had to go home with my tail in between my legs.
I lost all my money at Cheltenham last year, and to top it off, I left my shoes in the hotel as well. So I literally lost everything.
Yeah. Lost the shoes off our feet.
Yeah, literally. So yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Here, Jamie, what about you? What do you
this is gonna this mightn't be considered a great one now, lads, but my hope for 2019 is
hashtag hope for 2019
is to turn on the news and not have fucking Brexit be the main headline on the news every single night of the week.
Because
I'm sick shit of listening to it now at this stage, and that's my hope. And as well, I'll be finishing college as well and starting work, so I suppose I'll be looking forward to. My hope will be to be earning a few bob and not be on a college budget like I have been for the last 5 years, and be able to buy the family a few good Christmas presents next year and all sorts, because they were poor enough this year, weren't they, Owen?
Some kid presents there this year.
What did you get?
I don't think you got anything off me.
You can buy him a pint in the next one.
So what I'm most looking forward to, first I'll do me hope next.
Similar
to Tommy, I'm looking forward to Cheltenham and Japan. Like, they're going to be fucking quality trips, and Oktoberfest as well. I'm actually meaning
Kichiraban as well over from Japan.
Ichiban. Is that their biggest selling?
It's the biggest export anyway. I don't know about domestic sales. I wouldn't be an export in Japanese sales and beers, to be honest.
No. Yeah, but
say many are.
No. Sake? Is that alcohol? Isn't that Japanese?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
that's nice actually. Yeah.
Is it? It's not just like vodka, guys. Like it's not just
beer.
No, sake.
Sake is a...
Ah, sake. The beer lager, isn't it?
No, oh,
sake. Sake, you know the...
Oh, right.
Romy. Like,
yeah.
The shot right. Joke.
Yeah. It's spelled like, you know, sake, like...
Okay.
Fuck's sake. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But
2 shots of sake there, please.
Yeah, but, Cheltenham. Cheltenham's in March, followed by the rugby, followed by maybe... King Kong Company Paddy's Day in London.
And March, if we can.
Yeah, I will do it March. Actually, so me and Tommy were at the Paddy's Day parade in London last year, post Cheltenham. Did we get the train down to do the march?
No, we got the train the day before for the match.
Oh, for the match,
and we're up then at 7 o'clock for mass.
Yeah, so it was the last game of the Six Nations where Ireland won the Grand Slam against England, and we were out at Twickenham for that, and then we were out all night like on the tear, and then we got up at 7 o'clock for mass in the Irish Centre out in
Camden.
In Camden, yeah.
With the minister.
Oh yeah, Minister for Agriculture, was it? Yeah.
Creed. Minister Creed, isn't it?
Michael, is it?
Michael, yeah.
Michael.
Apollo.
So then we went
the mass on the dance floor.
Oh yeah, so the mass was on in the Irish Centre in London, and so me and Tommy rocked into mass late, and it was on a wooden dance floor in the Irish Centre, And so me and Tommy like rocked in. We sat on a couch at the back, like of mass, like way away from everyone else, like. And so the priest was saying his sermon underneath a disco ball from the night before, like I think nearly at the DJ box. Like the pulpit was the DJ box, and then we were going up for communion then. And like the floor was still sticky from the night before. So it was like all you could hear was that of everyone. Like,
I love the way instead of having hymns, they just had the rude sandstorm.
Yeah, yeah. And in Maniac 2000.
The priest was drinking Jaeger bombs as opposed to wine. Yeah.
He turned water into Jaeger bombs. And so then we went to do the march, the St. Patrick's Day parade through London, and we were at Green Park. We started off there. So we were waiting around in Green Park for a while, and it was absolutely Baltic. Like, it was fucking freezing.
We're fairly well organised, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there was I think there was about 8 of us, Tommy, was it?
Yeah.
So it was the Waterford Association that we were marching with in London. And
in the Paddy's Day parade in London.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like just an association. March as in...
No, it wasn't a protest. Yeah.
The one association
Brexit. Might just want to clarify that for the listeners, that you weren't marching.
We had a big orange sash on us.
Fucking Owen. We had to play the lambic drums.
So
you took part in the parade.
Marching in the parade. And we were there, and the Wexford Association were right behind us, and we were actually leading the parade because it was the 50th anniversary
of
the Water Association, right? So we ended up leading the parade, and so it was us, 8 of us, with a Waterford banner that was held up by two broomsticks, like tied, like fucking tied together with like sellotape together. And then behind us was the Wexford Association with, I'd say, about 100 people.
They had a truck and dancers.
They had a truck with like bales of hay, dancers, a band, everything.
And who,
like,
was behind them? The Celtic Ultras.
Oh yeah, probably. Yeah.
Ew, yeah.
Yeah, but fairness, like Wexford and Sellafield are next door neighbours, like, so. Yeah. The UK is a lot making up to you to Wexford, so.
Goodbye, Wexford listeners.
I said the UK is a lot making up to do to them. Why are you sticking up for Wexford?
Why? Because they're deformed from the Sellafield.
The whole county just.
I love Wexford. I love Yellow Belly Beer.
But, I don't know. Do we have any other...
No, I think we'll wrap it up and go watch the match.
Yeah, right, okay. Look, lads, this has been the first episode of the second season of the Snowcast. We took a bit of a break there.
Episode 22, though.
Oh, yeah, sure, look, we'll see. We've been absolutely shite in naming episodes and numbering episodes and everything, so we let it off. But
we had 2 episode 18s for a while, nobody noticed.
Did we?
Yeah.
All right,
sure. I noticed about 2 weeks ago and changed them.
All right.
Have you all the 12 Snugs of Christmas up?
All 5 of them are up.
Yeah.
We were supposed to release them before Christmas Day, and like the second last one got released on Stephen's Day, and the last one got released like last Friday or something. It's absolutely hilarious.
It'll be next Christmas by the time they're all released.
No, they're all out now. Apart from the unseen bits that are remaining unseen.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Anyway, lads, right, fuck Dry January, fuck yourselves, and...
fuck New Year's resolution.
Fuck New Year's resolution.
Fuck veganism.
And fuck the vegans. Oh, no,
unless you're a vegan, you're sound.
Yeah. If you're a vegan listener, you're more than welcome.
Down with vegans, up with vegetarians.
Right. fucking like us, share the shite, and rate us on iTunes and shite.
Share us on the Happy Pair page there.
Tag the boys. Edgeward.
Right, we've been Owen, DJ, Tommy, and Jamie. Right, stay away from us.
Go on, good luck, and God bless.
Good luck.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince.
I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.